Let me pray first. Father in heaven, this morning I personally just want to ask for your anointing on what I'm to share this morning. I'm asking that I would remain focused on what needs to be said right now. And there are a lot of things that seem to be bidding for the space in my mind this morning. But Father, I pray that right now, for the next several minutes, that I would be focused on sharing you, sharing your word. It's so important that we apply your word to our daily living. And I pray that what is shared today will aid in doing that. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen, amen. How many of you have ever... I know that some of you have, but you've participated in a sport or an activity that you won the championship. How many? I know that a couple of you have been a part of those things, those activities, whether it be on the racetrack or on the hockey rink or martial arts, whatever it might be. And do you remember, do you remember like when that took place, or maybe if you were actually involved in a sports activity, you have your favorite team, right? You know, we just finished the NCAA basketball championship. My team didn't win, but they were the next ones, all right. So, but do you remember the excitement, even Super Bowl, or maybe your favorite hockey team, right? When they went all the way and they took the championship, and you're like, yeah, they did it. And for the next few days, maybe even weeks, all you could do is talk about it. You know, you see your friends. Hey, do you remember that? Do you remember that catch? Oh, man, do you remember that move? Do you remember that putt? Oh, man, it was spectacular. Even Super Bowls, right? Super Bowl happens, everybody's like, yeah, my team won. And all you can do is talk about, you know, that throw that was made, that touchdown that was caught, that catch that was caught. You're like, man, that one-hander, right? Like, did you see it? You just can't keep talking about it. You just walk up to your friend and you go, did you? They're like, yeah, I saw that. You're stoked. You're excited. For days, we talk about that victory. So, we're so proud of that event. But now let's go back to last week. What did you do Monday morning? Did you get up and start your day as you normally do any other Monday? Looking at your calendar, looking at the list of things to do, the appointments. What did you do? Let me ask you another question. Did you tell anybody about the celebration that you experienced the day before? That would have been Easter, okay? Just to bring you back, all right? That would have been Easter last week. Resurrection Sunday. Did you say anything to your coworkers on Monday? How about Tuesday or Wednesday? Last Sunday, everybody in this room and those who were live with us celebrated the most important days of our lives. Last Sunday, we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We celebrated that with all the celebrating going on. For some of us, that Sunday morning, when it started, it ended on Sunday evening. How is it like, unlike when you are, like, that sporting event, You're still talking about it for days, weeks. You turn to, if you still look at newspapers or go to social media, you look in there and it's still there. You'd be hard-pressed to find anything last Monday on social media or in the newspaper, maybe more on social media, but in the newspaper that said anything about the victory that we celebrated. Not a thing. Not a peep. In the weeks leading up to Easter, Resurrection Sunday, there are we kind of ramp up for it, right? There's spiritual activities. We see people fasting, giving up things temporarily, also known as Lent. We start that 40 days out before Easter. On a secular basis, you know, that's when the merchants start throwing things on the shelves, the hollow filled chocolate bunnies and those other, what's that candy that's filled with something that's I think is just detestable. What's it, what are they called? Anybody know? Huh? The peeps, yeah. Yeah. Gross. Ah! But that's when, you know, 40 days out, that's when, you know, those in the secular world, they're starting to throw everything up on the shelves, right? And not only that, you start seeing them put out the new line of clothes, the Easter clothes, how bright they are, their pastels and all of that. And during the weeks before Easter, many people go and shop. I just remember as a kid, you know, it's Easter. What do you get? Easter clothes, right? You go shopping for that, you know, late little girls that get that Easter dress and guys that get a new set of slacks and, you know, new shirt, a tie that clips on, you know, or if you're fortunate enough, your mom makes the dress, right? How special is that? You have these new clothes to wear to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We celebrate Christ's resurrection. We celebrate the newness of resurrection, our life in clothes, with the emphasis on enjoying the highly spiritual lifting worship service that we have. During the service, we think about Christ's resurrection and what it means and how we're glad, we're overjoyed for what he did. He died for our sins. Again, the music is special. It's selected for Easter. The pastor, he has this Easter sermon, basically, that he's going to share, and we all experience that. Sometimes I think that, you know, I know that you're sitting out there and you're listening to what's being shared, and I know that you're sitting there going, okay, what's he going to say? What is he or she going to say this Easter that's going to be different from all the other Easter sermons that I've heard? How will that message touch me? And then when the service is over, we fellowship with maybe some friends and family. We have them come over. We relax for a time. Maybe, hopefully, for an internal reflection inside about what Easter meant to us. What it means. What it meant for Jesus Christ who died on the cross some over 2,000 years ago. When all the celebrations are completed, we go to bed and wake up on Monday morning, another Easter passed. Another holiday gone. Another season of buying new clothes is behind us. Now it's time to get back to the normal daily grind. Going back to a normal everyday routine. And we do not take that celebration that we experienced last week throughout the rest of the year. Does it sound familiar to you? I mean, are you guilty of that? You don't have to raise your hands. I don't want you to. I'm not the first person that went out on Monday morning saying, yes, 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 yes. Yesterday was just grand. But it makes me think that I should have. We should have. This morning, and you know, I just want to just reflect on that. This Sunday and a couple more Sundays, I just want to reflect on that. Focus on what happens after. How do we act? How are we supposed to act after Easter happens? Last week when we wore our new clothes, remember how you felt? And if you didn't wear new clothes, that's okay too, all right? But you know how you feel when you get new clothes? When you put them on, how you look great, you stand in the mirror, and you go, oh yeah. Guys, you know, like, yeah, I look good. This makes me look good. Women, you sashay maybe a little bit, like twirl the dress. I'm not going to do that, okay? Just weird. You know what you do, and you're saying, man, don't I look good? Honey, don't I look good? Gets yelled from the bathroom, wherever that mirror's at, and husbands, they say, yes, you do. New clothes makes you feel different. You feel like a different person in those new clothes. And when Monday morning rolls around, as much as you'd like to, you'd probably like to put on those clothes again, but you'd be a little bit weird. But to say, if you're to be honest, you look for that opportunity to put on those new clothes again, right? You're like, oh, I can't wait. And when you put that suit on or that dress, you're like, oh, man, look at me. All right, so apply this to our lives being changed because of the resurrection. When Christ rose from the dead, we changed clothes. We went from wearing dark clothes, the dark clothes of sin, to the white clothes of forgiveness. When we changed clothes, it was noticeable. And those around us could tell that there's a difference in you. This change is what we celebrate Easter. That's what it's all about. Christ's resurrection changed us forever. We should never be the same. We should never want to be the same. It's that experience that we felt in the victory of Jesus that we should never let loose of our grasp. Would it be a stretch to say how you see? Would it be a stretch to say how you see Christ in your circumstances? Listen to this. Will determine where you are as it relates to the resurrection. You could be standing at the foot of the cross, helpless and lost, and thinking Christ not with you. You could be standing at the empty tomb, confused about where Christ is in this situation. Or you could be standing in Galilee, conversating with the Master, knowing that your life has been changed forever. Wherever you are standing will determine how you respond to the resurrection and what you will do the days and years after you've experienced the resurrection. You see, Monday will always follow Easter. But it does not need to be the same old Monday. Granted, hear me, church. I know that there's a difference when you're actually there, when you experience something like that's right in front of you. It's one thing to hear about the experience and know about the experience, but it's quite another thing if you were actually there I know that. But it still doesn't negate for us to just blow that off. To say, yeah, that's what happened then. What happened then should be happening now inside of each and every one of you. Let me share with you this story, all right? And I know I'm being lengthy in setting up, but there's a story about that demonstrates how our mindset will determine how we respond to the days following the resurrection. Two friends, they run into each other, and the one sees his friend, and he looks at him and says, "Man, what has the world done to you?" And the friend that was saddened says, "Well, about 4 weeks ago, my uncle passed away. My uncle passed away, and in his passing, he left me $40,000. Okay. Okay, $40,000. And his friend says, "Wow, that's a lot of money. And his friend says, "Well, let me continue." The one that's sad, he says, "Well, let me continue." He goes, 2 weeks ago, my cousin, who I barely knew, left me $85,000. And so his friend is like, you got to be kidding me. Wow, you're really blessed. Sounds like you have things going your way." And then the one saddened says, "You don't understand." He says, "You don't understand. Last week, my great aunt passed away, and she left me $250,000. Now, his friend was really confused as to say why his friend was sad. I mean, with this windfall of money. And so he says, "Well, then, so why do you look so sad?" And the sad friend responded, "This week I haven't gotten anything. I haven't gotten anything." Now, as expected, I knew you would laugh. It's kind of funny, except for the truth that it holds. Each year when we celebrate Easter, there is some level of excitement and expectation. However, when the hype of the celebration is over, we go back to our lives and places. The power of the same resurrection that we just celebrated is now on the back burner. Yeah, that was Easter. Okay. Next day, Monday, Easter's on the back burner. We'll wait for it to happen again. Everybody knows what the back burner means. Those who are cooks, you know, you put things in the back burner, things that you don't need to pay particular attention to. We put Easter or the Resurrection Sunday on the back burner. God wants us to take the resurrection off the back burner. He wants us to take it off the back burner and put it on the front. So we need to focus on Him and focus on the resurrection. All right, let's get into this. If you would turn your Bibles to Luke 24, that's where we're going to be at this morning for a little bit. In this next, we're going to look at how faith comes with understanding. How when Jesus is speaking with his disciples, when Jesus appeared to his disciples initially in Luke 24:37, they were afraid. They were scared. All right, but they came to understand that it truly was Jesus who was standing before them. They saw Jesus coming in. They're like, they saw the nails in his hands and in his feet, and they're like, it must be a ghost. And then Jesus says, "Hey, give me something. Give me that hot pocket." Okay, he didn't say give me a hot pocket. All right, but he says, "Give me something to eat," because he knew that when they began to eat, when they would eat, and Jesus ate, then they'd say, "Oh, he is alive." this is Jesus. It's not a ghost. It was only after they witnessed this that they accepted that he had risen from the dead. Once they accepted that he had risen from the dead, Jesus did something that we often look over when we read this text. Luke 24, I'm going to start, we're going to take this bite-sized portions of this text. 44 through 45. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Verse 45 says that he opened their minds to open so that they could understand. In other words, Jesus basically just gave them a history lesson. He gave them a history lesson so they could understand what was said, what was prophesied about in Scripture. The disciples needed to understand that the prophecies pertaining to Jesus in order to appreciate why Jesus had risen from the dead and what it meant to them. So Jesus took time to sit down. Let me reveal this to you. Let me open up your mind to this understanding that's been hidden from you. And by revealing what he had been prophesied about him and helping them to understand from a historical viewpoint, the disciples were able to come to terms why. When Jesus was taken there in the Garden of Gethsemane, they didn't understand what was going on. Although they were told, Jesus told them, it wasn't a secret. He told them what was going to happen, but yet they had not quite wrapped their minds around what was going on. They knew what was taking place, but they couldn't rationalize it. You see, our faith comes through our understanding of the resurrection, and our actions are based on what we understand after the resurrection. So Jesus took the disciples to the scripture. Now, I know that there are some old school folks in here, some saints. And so if you were going to pick a text out of the Old Covenant, Old Testament, that speaks of the prophecy of Jesus dying and being resurrected, I know that most of you would automatically think to Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. Yep, I'm getting the nod of agreement, so I haven't messed up thus far. Not really bad, anyway. So, let me read that chapter to you. And don't go, oh, the whole chapter? It's only 12 verses, all right? So hang in there with me, all right? This is what Jesus is, I can imagine Jesus saying to the disciples. He says, "Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of the dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he was borne our grief, surely has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgression, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He has oppressed and he was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and government he was taken away, and was for his generation who considered not he was cut off of the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of many people. Verse 9. And they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man to his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous. And he shall bear these their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. Isaiah 53. Everything that Jesus went through was summarized in that text right there. And I don't know if this blows my mind. This text was written like 700 years before Jesus walked onto the scene. 700 years. Our country's not only but 246 years. The United States is only 246 years this year. So 700 years before Jesus walked onto the scene, this was spoken. God revealed this in Isaiah so that once the prophecy was fulfilled, people would recognize Jesus as the true Messiah. But there is one point we all need to understand. In verse 12 of this prophecy, Isaiah writes that God would share the spoil that he would share the spoils with he who took with us. Those spoils that he took was the power and authority that he snatched out of Satan's hands. Snatched him out of Satan's hands when he rose from the dead. This power he is sharing with us. This power he shares with us when we remember him, when we walk with him, when we have faith in him. It's in that power of resurrection. You see, until this point, the disciples had limited understanding of the scripture, but by moving forward, they would now be able to be witnesses of Christ's power. They would have confidence that they'd never had before. This confidence comes through their foundational knowledge and understanding Jesus. After Jesus taught them and sat with them, their faith grew. Paul hit the nail on the head when he says in Romans 10:17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Faith comes through hearing of the word of God. We know that this word of God, we know that God is the word, right? We know that, right? All one has to do is look at John, the first chapter, the first verse, right? We probably know that verse, that very first verse there. It says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The Word was God. Jesus is the Word. So when we listen to Him, our faith will come. The more we're in His Word and we start digesting it, the more faith we'll have in His Word and what He's saying. Once the disciples understood who Jesus was from a historical viewpoint, the fear that they had operated in began to dissipate. They're like, man, what they talked about, what Scripture talked about, it's come to pass. And, you know, Jesus died and, you know, we're all sorrowful, but now He's back. He's back and He's alive. Ooh. Let's go back to the 24th chapter of Luke. When Jesus finishes the story lesson with His disciples, Luke 24:46-49 says this, and said to them, Jesus said to them, thus it is written that Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in His name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with the power from on high. See, before Jesus left His disciples, He blessed them. And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continuing to praise. They're praising Him. Was it that song that some of us learned in VBS or Sunday school? They were walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God in the name of Jesus. I forgot that song. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That's what they were doing. They were rejoicing. This is what a radical change does from where they were prior. This is a radical change from where they were before, like ho-hum, to like right on Jesus rocks. Jesus has risen. Point two. The second and last point. There's only 2 points. Whoo! Earlier I shared with you the story about the man who kept inheriting money when family members died on the day that he met his friend. And he was depressed because although he had received all this money weeks prior, he had not received anything that particular week. This man judged his life by what he was receiving, what he was getting. We don't know what his life was like prior. I would think that maybe his life was normal. Everything was good. No big worries. But when he stopped receiving that money, he's like, man, I know what I got, but now I want more. From 40 to 85 to $250,000, I want more. This man's existence became about what he was receiving versus what he had internally. After the resurrection, the disciples understood this meaning. The first thing they received was joy. Joy was one of the outcomes of the resurrection. Luke 24:52 records, it says, and they worshiped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. After Jesus ascended, when you read that text, Jesus ascends to heaven, the disciples were filled with joy. As I stated, you know, this Jesus, He rose on Sunday, and then they were full of joy. And then Monday, they were still stoked up. They returned to Jerusalem. Can you just imagine being among them? I know I talk about imagining being in the room during communion. But can you just, man, do you remember that? Jesus, He's alive. He rose from the dead. And then he walked in. Yeah, I remember that. And then remember when He went to... yeah, when He started eating, that just like... That's what I'm hearing. That's if I was walking with them, I'm like, and then he ate. And then he ate. He's alive. Jesus is alive. What they witnessed that Sunday carried them through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the next week, the next month, the next years of their lives. They would never forget that experience they'd had with Jesus. You see, to them, Easter was just not an annual event, nor should it be for us. It was a day-to-day-to-day experience. Waking up and saying, Jesus is alive. Let me close. Let me ask you this. Where are you at? Where are you at? Last week, we celebrated Easter. We praised God. We recognize the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Many of us went home, had dinner with friends, family, and maybe I'm thinking that Sunday night, you went, whew, that's over with. We left everything that we celebrated last Sunday morning, the hour and a half that we had here together worshiping the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And on Monday morning, it was like nothing even happened the day before. And unlike the disciples, that was something they would never forget. They had joy. Do you have that kind of joy inside you this morning? Is it in your veins? The joy of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, is that flowing through your veins? I wonder what our week would have been like. I wonder what our week would have been like if we would have celebrated the way the disciples celebrated on that first Easter. What would our week been like if we would have mimicked the disciples being full of joy? People looking at us at work and people looking at us at school and like, man, what is... I know you're a little bit different, and you know, because you're one of those Christian people. But man, what has got you pumped up today? It'd be the talk. Did you see JR today? What's up with him? Why don't you go ask him?
Oh, I'm not asking him. I don't want a sermon.
But what if somebody said, what is up with you today? Why are you so pumped up? Because that's the way we should be the day after we just celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Should we not be so pumped that people say, there's something different going on in you? And you know what? There is. There is. Let me tell you about him. Where are you at? Father God, this morning, I don't ever want to forget the ultimate sacrifice your son displayed, dying on the cross for my sins, for my mess up. The things that I should be paying the price for. But you sent your son, the Redeemer, so that we could have everlasting life. And Father, it's my prayer that we not just blow off Easter, that we don't blow off the resurrection, that Resurrection Sunday would be on the front burner of our minds. Father, for those listening this morning, I pray that they would come to know you and to hear about your sacrifice, and knowing that they too can experience that unconditional love that only you can offer. That no matter where they're at, no matter where they've been, no matter what they've done,